Are you feeling lonely today? I know a lot of women are. Nancy DeMoss Walgamu says God has an answer for that.
God has given us women and friends within the body of Christ to help us grow and serve. So there really shouldn't be any such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. And there shouldn't be any such thing as a lonely Christian.
I need you. You need me. Women Helping Women, today on Revive Our Hearts Weekend. Welcome to Revive Our Hearts Weekend. I'm Dana Gresh. It's summertime, and one thing I always find a lot around the farm is ants, those crazy little six-legged creatures. Have you ever taken time to just sit and watch them work? Once in Panama, I watched an entire colony of leafcutter ants at work. At first, I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me. What were those little green things walking on the pathway in the rainforest? And then, as I got closer, ants. Ants carrying pieces of leaves. I was mesmerized. Ended up watching for an hour, just witnessing their hard work as they carried leaves back to their little dirt home. It was unbelievable to me how they walked in an orderly line, just like something out of a movie. Those six-legged creatures had an insane sense of teamwork. They worked together, perfectly, for the good of their community. It's something that scientists have been studying for years. And you know, we can learn something from those little bugs. I'm thinking that maybe we sisters and women of the church need to look something like those ants. Now, I don't want to compare us to bugs, but think about it. Together, we can get a lot done. Let's explore the power of sisters living in community. Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth unpacks our need for each other as a way to live out the gospel in a book she wrote titled Adorned. On the back cover, you'll see these words. Imagine older women investing themselves, younger women widening their circle, women of all ages and seasons making the gospel beautiful and believable to those around them. Nancy wants us to have a vision for the greater goal, because when we come together, there's something special that happens. Here's Nancy.
We're committing to live out the beauty of the gospel together. Together. In the passage we're going to be most focused on, chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, Paul stresses the importance of women having intentional, cross-generational, invasive relationships with each other. Older women, younger women. And I want to suggest that this is not just a theory. Paul's not just pulling out his textbook on women's discipleship. This is actually the way that the Apostle Paul himself did life as a man. Throughout the book of Titus, Paul models and he stresses the importance of relationships, of living and growing and serving in community with other believers. Let me just point out a couple places where that's highlighted. I'll take you to the first paragraph of Titus, and then I'll take you to the last paragraph so you can see how Paul is committed to this thing of relationships. In the opening paragraph, Paul writes to Titus, my true child in a common faith. So here you have Paul, who is the seasoned, mature, anointed, appointed apostle of Jesus Christ, and he's speaking to a much younger, less experienced man. But Paul is not condescending. He's warm. He's loving. He's engaging. He says, you and I, Titus, we have a common faith. Yeah, I know I've been at this a lot longer than you have, but we share a common faith. And he reaches out and he takes time out of his busy apostle schedule to encourage this young believer. And then to release him into a place of fruitful ministry. So sweet. And then in the closing paragraph, it's very intimate. The end of chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, it's personal. It's all about relationships, serving the Lord together. Listen, it's just so personal here. Verse 12, when I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I've decided to spend the winter there. Paul says to Titus, his beloved son in the faith, I'm sending two men that I know and trust to relieve you there in Crete. And when they get there, do your best to come and visit me. I think that's so touching. There's this sense of, I need you. I want to spend time with you. Verse 13, do your best to speed Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing. He's saying, take care of these servants of the Lord. Make sure that their needs are met. Verse 14, and let our people, that's a relational term, let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. And then the last verse, all who are with me send greetings to you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. There's a lot of plurals in that verse. So Paul is not alone. He says, all who are with me. And Titus over in Crete is not alone. Send greetings to those who love us in the faith. Both of these men are doing life with other believers. They're living out the beauty of the gospel together. They're always connecting with other believers and connecting those believers with each other. God's grace in your life. Spiritual growth in your life, fruitful ministry through your life will be best experienced in the context of community. You see, our union with Christ makes us a member of the family of God. And that means that we are related by blood. We're organically, inseparably connected to each other. We need each other. And the good news is we have each other. God has given us women and friends within the body of Christ to help us grow and serve. So there really shouldn't be any such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. And there shouldn't be any such thing as a lonely Christian. There shouldn't be anyone among us or in our churches who is suffering through affliction or walking through unfamiliar or trying circumstances, struggling to make it on their own. There's not one woman here, starting with this woman, who can make it on her own. We all need other women in our lives. Now, those relationships are not always easy. They're not always neat. Sometimes they can get messy. But I'm going to tell you, done God's way, under His leading and by His grace, they can be incredibly life-giving. And they are God's way of making the gospel believable through us to the watching world.
Okay, did you catch that? Our relationships with other women are God's way of making the gospel believable to a watching world. That's why talking about friendship and mentorship is so important. Not so we get things in the friendship department right, but so that we realize the importance of God using these relationships for the good of His kingdom. In Nancy's book, Adorn, she talks a lot about being a mentor. Older women investing themselves in the lives of younger women. But what does it look like to be a mentor? You may be asking how and when you can become one. Well, Susan Hunt had many questions when she began mentoring. She didn't have a formula. She didn't have a curriculum. She'd just been asked to lead a women's Bible study at her church. Younger women came, and so did women 20 or 30 years older than her. She says she was a little intimidated when the older women showed up, but she found her rhythm in teaching and mentoring women and saw that by studying and discussing God's word, relationships started to develop that she hadn't anticipated. Here's Susan, a beloved grandmother figure in the Revive Our Hearts True Woman movement, talking with Nancy.
Then as I began to try to do things to help them connect and communicate with one another, and it really came to a head when whatever we were studying, and I don't even remember what book it was at that time, what book of the Bible, but we came to a passage on marriage, and I thought, how can I do this? Because most of these older women were widows, mm-hmm. and I just didn't know how to go about doing that. And then I thought, well, I just teach what's there. But I told the women how uneasy I was, and I asked the older widows, will you help us? Will you show us what it means to be godly wives? Will you share your memories with us? And I knew we had struck gold when afterwards one of the younger women said, "How can I go home and complain about dirty socks on the floor after I've listened to these women share their precious memories of their husbands and their marriages?"
And at that point, would give anything to have their husbands
back.
With the dirty socks on the floor.
Yes.
Right?
Everything came into perspective for all of us. And then I began to see what it would mean if younger women could hear the perspective on life of older women who had walked with the Lord, who were walking with the Lord, whose consuming desire was to honor and glorify Him. And it was just beautiful. It was beautiful.
And did any of those women take a role in your life in spiritual mothering? Have you experienced that personally?
Every one of them. As they opened up and learned that this is what God was calling them to do. Remember, Nancy, this was brand new for all of us. It had not been talked about at that point in our history as a church anyway. And so as they understood the biblical principle, and as we looked back in Scripture and began to attach it to the covenantal principle throughout the Old Testament of one generation telling the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, it's like it loosened the lips of these older women, and it loosened the ears of the younger women. And we were listening to and hearing each other. And the way it was transforming our lives and our relationships. But every one of those women had a pivotal role in my life at that point, the younger and the older. As I watched the eagerness of the younger women to learn from the older women, and as I watched the eagerness of the older women to pour into us, it just became such a wonderful thing to experience. And so all of them, I still visit with many of them who are still alive in their assisted living homes or wherever they are. And they're just great, dear friends, and they continue to point me to Jesus.
Can you think of specific areas where, take yourself back to that 50-ish woman, where at that season of life you saw something in them that you wanted to emulate or that modeled Christ to you? Are any specific areas where they spoke into your life by their lives?
By their lives, yes. One thing that fascinated me about them was they were in church every Sunday. Everything that was going on in our local church, they were there. And I knew that they prayed faithfully for everything about our church life. But not only did they show up always, but they looked so beautiful. They dressed beautifully. Their nails were done. They just looked beautiful. In every area, they radiated something to us that it was gospel beauty. It was that adornment of the gospel. And I was fascinated by that, that these women had not let themselves go because they were showing Christ to whoever was around. And that has served me so well because now there are lots of times that I think, oh, maybe I'll just sleep in. There's no energy today. But I think back to those women, and they showed up, and in so doing, they taught me to love my church. They taught me to love the Savior of the church and to be there as a support for the pastor, for the other people in the church. So that was one thing they taught me. But another thing they taught me is when I would be with them, and particularly the widows, they always had such encouraging things to say to me about my husband. They would tell me the ways he had ministered to them. They would tell me about his visits to them. And instead of me becoming negative about my husband and seeing negative things about him, these women were always pumping me full of the good things about him.
Giving you perspective again.
Yes. And so I learned to see those things. They would tell me what they had gained from his sermons, what they had learned from his lessons, his Bible studies. And That was, again, a strong lesson for me. So I now try to do that. I try to tell young women the positive things I see in their husbands, the way I saw their husbands minister to a child at church, or whatever it is, but just to turn around and to tell them positive things about their husbands.
Which is really teaching one of the pieces of the curriculum
yes,
here in Titus 2 is teach the younger women
to love their husbands.
Now, you would think you wouldn't have to teach that, but there are times when you see things in each other that aren't lovable, and that's when we need that gracious encouragement and reminder to see that mate through the eyes of love, through the love of God.
Exactly.
And that's what those women modeled to you, and what you're now encouraging younger women. You've encouraged me as a married woman now to love my husband. So this isn't getting up in front of a room necessarily with a PowerPoint presentation, with, you know, a notebook and fill in the blanks and a lecture. And you are a marvelous teacher, a gifted teacher of God's word. But so much of what you're talking about in spiritual mothering is not formal. It's not structured. It's life to life, as you just mm-hmm. described.
It is. It's so relational. It's showing Jesus, showing the life of Jesus to others and helping them to see life from the perspective of God's sovereign love and our purpose to glorify Him. And as they begin to see that, young mothers, seeing that caring for their children is not putting their life on hold, changing the diapers, whatever it is, that is their mission, that is their calling, and that is the place where they're to glorify God. But those older women also helped me to see the potential in my children, not just the negatives, and to have hope for my children, as they were by that time young adults. Those women just continually gave me hope for my children.
Mentoring is caught more than it's taught. That's what Susan Hunt says. Mentoring is befriending someone in a younger stage of life. Sometimes it's the intention of having a Bible study, and other times it's just sharing our lives and our struggles and our joys. Susan Hunt not only mentors, but she's teaching the older women how to teach the younger women, and she's written several books on how to do this. We have her latest book, Spiritual Mothering, the Titus II Model for Women Mentoring Women, in our store at reviveourhearts.com. There you can also find her entire conversation with Nancy and how women need each other. You're listening to Revive Our Hearts Weekend, and I'm Dana Gresh. Life is hard. I can't find it anywhere in the Bible that God promised it'd be easy. Quite the opposite, in fact. We need each other on our journeys. Remember what Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth talked about at the beginning of our time together? She said, God has given us women and friends within the body of Christ to help us grow and serve. There's not one woman here, starting with this woman, she said, referring to herself, who can make it on her own. We all need other women in our lives. Let's listen to the story of how some beautiful relationships formed through mentoring in three women's lives. We'll hear from Susan Seeger, Judy Barnett, and Mary Arnold.
I became a Christian at 16, and I am in my 60s now, but had never been mentored myself. My name is Susan Seeger, and I'm from Evansville, Indiana. Especially after I became a Christian and into my probably early 30s, I felt very alone. Just no one to really talk to about questions that I had, especially I wish I would have had a mentor after I'd first got married. Have a wonderful husband, love married life, but I just feel like having an older woman would have helped me go through different seasons in life, and I could have had someone speaking into my life of things that I needed to work on or changes that needed to be made, and just really had that longing to find a woman who could speak into my life and answer questions that I had and just walk beside me. I heard about the Adorned book when I came to True Woman 16.
When I started working on that book, I was one of the younger women that Titus 2 talks about. When I finished the book, I was one of the older women. that Titus 2 talks about. When I started writing that book, I was Nancy Lee DeMoss. When I finished writing that book, I was Nancy DeMoss Wagamuth. So a lot of things have changed in my life in the course of writing this book on Titus 2.
Our church had just started focusing on discipleship, and so I knew that I was going to be interested in reading this. So I actually got the book right after it came out. I began praying and asking the Lord who might fulfill that role in my life.
I've known Susan from a distance. I saw her at baby showers and different things, so I've known her from a distance, and then when her husband came on the elder board with my husband, I met her pretty much more officially then. And she called and asked us to pray with she and her husband about another matter. And we invited them in our home, had dinner, and I just fell in love with her. When you get my age, you realize you've lived the 70 years. My husband and I both turned 70 this year. We call it the last chapter in our lives, and we want it to be very relational. Also, it be very intentional. I guess I felt so alone as an elder's wife, and I just thought I really want to help Susan through this time in her life, and but I started praying about it. I didn't ask her. I just started praying about it.
One day we got together and I just asked her if she would consider discipling me. And she teared up and she said, I don't need to pray about this because I've already been praying that the Lord would bring someone into my life that I could mentor. And you were the one. So we began about a year and a half ago our mentoring discipleship time together. And it's been precious.
One thing I did not want to do was be put on a shelf or relax and rest. And so I've just been really trying to walk it and live it.
It just made me happy because I knew I had been praying, and knowing that she had been praying, I knew it was a God thing, that this is who was really supposed to be speaking into my life. And so it's been wonderful. I usually go over to her house. We always start our time just praying. We are doing Nancy's book, Choosing Gratitude. So we will read a chapter and then we will discuss it.
The reason Susan and I chose that book is as we started meeting together, we realized that that's one of the things that God really wants us to be, is thankful. And we both struggle with that, is having joy and being thankful. And so that's why we chose that book.
But Judy's always there, like when there's issues that I'm trying to deal with in my own personal life. And I feel the freedom just to talk with her about it and receive insight from her as an older woman as better ways to like deal with situations.
And honestly, she's mentoring me as much as I'm mentoring her. Sometimes I wonder who's the mentor here.
I guess it was about 7 or 8 months ago that I was praying that God would bring someone into my life that I could now mentor. Susan is someone who is so dear and so loving.
My name is Mary Arnold. And we went for coffee at a local coffee shop there, and instantly we clicked, and I knew from there on out that I wanted to be around her more.
I met Mary through our youngest son. She was in college at the time, and he just really felt like Mary and I were just so similar that we would enjoy one another. So we grabbed coffee when she was in town one time and then just really built a connection. So we would stay in contact through phone, actually doing lessons, discussing Bible things over the phone.
It grounded me in my faith because I had gone through a college program that was a liberal arts college program, and I was learning so many different viewpoints upon the world and worldviews and just so many things that were against what I had grown up believing. And so I needed a foundation that I knew this is the plumb line, this is what I can look to and not stray away from. And having Susan ask those questions back to me and just seeing how I was doing, checking in, it grounded me in my faith, and I knew what I believed in and was able to stand firm in it. And then she actually moved to Evansville, and we continued our conversations. As I thought about it and prayed about it, Mary just kept coming to my mind. And so one day at lunch, I just asked her if I could be her spiritual mama. And so we've been connecting ever since.
Isn't that beautiful? I love the kindness of God in giving us one another to walk through life. An older sister to ask questions of, and a younger sister to encourage. Now, let me give you a little tip. I've never experienced a strong mentorship that began with formality, like when you sign up for a mentor at church or you approach someone and say, "Will you be my mentor?" Now, I do think sometimes God uses those things, but in my life, it's been more organic than that. Did you hear how Susan felt that connection to Mary? And then the relationship became, well, a mentorship. Right now I'm thinking of Aubrey. She's my coworker at the ministry I lead, True Girl. We partner with Revive Our Hearts to bring biblical truth to tween girls and their moms. And Aubrey is our brand manager. And when she showed up, well, something special just happened. And for 3 years now, we've been meeting at Cafe Lamont for tea and to just hash out life. It's been my great joy to watch her identify lies she believes and to replace them with God's truth and to grow strong enough that, well, today I see her mentoring one of our other teammates, Noli. Now, here's the thing. I am Aubrey's mentor, but she's never asked me to be that, and I've never called myself that until today, just now, right here. I've just been enjoying the special connection God's Spirit has created between us, and I've been faithful. We've both been faithful to have God-honoring, biblically-based conversations with each other. It's that simple. Really, that simple. Is there a younger woman in your life? Someone you might meet for coffee or tea and begin that friendship we've been talking about today? Maybe text her right now and just see what God does. If you've been listening to the daily episodes of Revive Our Hearts, you've noticed that we've been talking about kindness a lot. You know, kindness goes a long way in our relationships, especially friendships, and it helps us put the gospel on display to a watching world. To help you cultivate kindness in your life, Nancy DeMoss Wagelmuth has written the booklet, A Deeper Kind of Kindness, and we'd love to send you that resource as our way of saying thank you when you send a gift of any amount to support this ministry. Just visit reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959 and make sure to ask for the booklet. That's 1-800-569-5959. We've been spending time this summer discovering the riches of friendship. And next week, Nancy shares how encouragement to our souls is like oxygen to our brains. She's going to unpack the one another's for us. You know, encourage one another, comfort one another, exhort one another. That's on the next Revive Our Hearts weekend. Thanks for listening today. It's an honor to be on this journey with you. And thanks to our awesome team who worked hard all week and want to relax on the weekend. Phil Krause is probably floating down the river right about now. Dylan Weibel is getting his well-deserved nap. Rebecca Krause is enjoying her family, but probably wondering, where's her dad? Justin Converse, probably sitting by the pool. Michelle Hill is reading a book by the lake. And for Revive Our Hearts weekend, I'm Dana Gresh, the only one left in the studio right now. Hey, guys. Guys, well, Revive Our Hearts Weekend is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.